Okay, let me make a little bit, another point on the carbono, but then I want to move to the next point. So just to remind ourselves where we were. If you remember, the principle that the Gemara introduces, or the Mishnah introduces really, which is that by every carbono, regardless of size, the Pasuk says, Reach Nicholach, teaches you Echad Amarba Echad Hamamet, that whether you give a lot or a little, what matters is that you're Mechavin Lev L'Shamayim. That rule is a universal rule. The Gemara says that. I'm not guessing. This is not some drasha, not some vort. The Gemara says this is a universal rule, introduces it for Talmud Torah. So what we did last week was the question, if it's a universal rule, why do we introduce the principle in Karbanot? And we said that the reason is because dafka by Karbanot, you might have thought from a pagan theology perspective that it matters whether it's harpe or ma'at, because you're feeding God. And it's dafka by Karbanot where we have to think that we have to teach it's not the case, and that's why the lessons that the Gemara taught in the middle of this sugya were that it's Shem Hashem and not El or Elohim, which, as the Meshech Chachma says, it's the name of God that is not about power, but rather about God's infinitude and unchanging nature. And we mentioned all the psukim that indicate that God doesn't want karbanot, and the Rambam's radical read, which is that karbanot are completely b'di'evet, but even according to Rambam, that they're not b'di'evet, but the kavana is still central, because it's about you imagining that you're on the mizbeach, not about God eating. So machshava is central for everybody, and then we spent a lot of time in the Meshech Chachma, who focused on the structure of the mizbeach, which is stone for that reason, because stone doesn't need sustenance, and that's why you don't have an asherah in it. You dafka can't have a tree growing near the mizbeach, and that's why the Sanhedrin is there, because they need to be like God in this sense, unchanging, needing, right? Needing nothing, whatever, as if they need nothing. And that's what we did last week. I gave you the Marsha. I have a few of the copies left over from last week. Remember, because it's like 4 pages to the single space thing. It's number 12. It's like
this is the one your teeth fell on, right?
I don't know. The 12. Look at eight. There. There's one more copy. I don't know.
It starts for Wayne.
I hope I have everything. Yeah. So 12. I may be missing one. I may need it. But in the meantime, the Marsha also in the Karbanot. And then we'll move on from it. Oh yeah, I'm missing a page. Of course I'm missing a page. Okay, I may need a page from somebody, that's fine. But in the meantime, the Marsha says, Mishum the Karbanot al Harov Boin Laratzola Fayesit Midar Hadin al Khed Haadam Vilohaya Lolichto Vikulam Rechnikov Lashem Shumidara Rachamim. So he has a different take and he says, look, Karbanot are brought because you did something wrong. In general, when you do something wrong, what?
It's not exclusively true.
So, according to the Gemara, it mostly is. Chatat is brought because you know what you did wrong. Gashem is if you don't know what you did wrong. And even in Ola, the Gemara assumes is mechaper on asays and machshavot and things like that. So, most of them, not all of them,
or
most of them.
The yearly ones, the things.
Most of them, right, come for some sort. So he says, so why then don't you say the name Elohim, which is about God's judgment? Why Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, which normally talks about Rachamim. And so the Meshech Chachma, if you remember, said that the reason is because Yudkei Vavkei is about God's unchanging nature. The Marsha says what I think is a simpler one, which is just that Elohim is a shared name between all gods, true gods and false gods, which you should know, this week's Parsha, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shelo Yechamer Tzitzayim Lo Yeh Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai.
Isn't it also just for anyone?
Which is why I don't know how many times I have to say this. Even if you're the type of person when you read a pasuk, you don't say Shem Hashem. Do not ever read the second dibra as Elokim.
Yeah,
because that's heresy. Right. Lo yelacha Elohim acherim means there shouldn't be any true gods other than me. No, that's not what it means. Lo yelacha Elohim acherim al panai. There shall not be other false gods, powers. You have this in several places, but we're in Yitro, so now's a good time to say it.
It's actually one in the beginning.
And that's what he says, and that's what how he understands this point. Okay, so let's now move on though to the universal point. Okay, I do need the sheet. Okay, I need the page 3, whatever it was.
The 3 is which number?
Number 14 and on. 14. Okay, share. 14.
Yay for sharing.
Yay. Yay, exactly.
Yay, oh my god.
Yeah, now we have the printer back. It'll last for a day. Now, I just gave you a few other things. Reb Chaim Kanievsky here is quoted as saying that the reason that the carbon of tzon comes before the carbon of bakar and the psukim is for the same reason, to emphasize echad amarba v'echad amamit, that you put the amamit first. Okay. But now what I want to do is move over to the second point, which is that as we started with last week, again, we spent last week saying, why, if this lesson is universal, so why is it taught dafka here? But let's remind ourselves that it's universal and then try to understand what does it mean outside of Karbanot. So here we have two Gemarot that tell you it is universal, both from Brachot. Brachot Daf Hey, this was source one, just to remind you, where when Rilazar is sick and Rabbi Yochanan visits him, Rilazar is crying, and he says, why are you crying? And he says, if it's because you feel like you didn't learn enough Torah, don't worry about it. Echad amar ba ve'echad amamit. Ubuvaji chavin li bala shamayim. I mean, it doesn't matter how much you actually learn, it matters how much you try, how much you mean to learn, how much effort you put in, whatever it means. Brachot Daf Yud Zayin is the even more striking one, where the Rabbanan of Yavne used to say, I'm a creature, my friend is a creature, I work in the city, he works in the field, I get up in the morning to do work, he gets up in the morning to do work, and I don't take his place, he's not haughty about his job, I'm not haughty about my job, and maybe you'll say I'm better than him because I do a lot and he does a little. Meaning, it doesn't matter if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, he's learning as much as he's supposed to be doing. So, we're equal. So now let's try to figure out what this value actually means. I mean, at one level, it's obvious. At one level, this is not a particularly complicated idea. It's not about how much you accomplish. You can't change radically how smart you are if you try. So if you have a perfect photographic memory and you read extremely fast, so you learn 18 hours a day for 10 years and you'll be Rav Avadya Yosef. You'll know every tshuva and every book that ever existed, and you'll be the only person in the world who knows them, because the library that you learn them from will conveniently burn down and then no one can ever check you. That actually happened. That's not a joke. That happened.
I'm assuming he wrote down everything he knew by heart. So it...
Yes, that many of the books that he read in the library in Egypt burned down. So
did he write it down? So we still have it at least.
So he quotes a lot of them. He didn't like copy them all down.
Oh, that's...
Now, obviously, many of the books that he wrote we do have, but a lot of them we don't, and that we have no access to anymore. And even the ones that, like, theoretically could find, you're never going to look up half of them. It's impossible. It's crazy. And a single tshuva of his... I once heard from someone that Rabbi Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik refuses to read a single tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef because he's the most methodical, thorough person in the world. And if he reads anything, he checks every footnote and checks every source. But he's like, if I read a single tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef, it'll take me 6 months to read the tshuva, because to check every reference, it's crazy.
How many references does he use per tshuva?
Thousands upon thousands of tshuva you've never heard of. Literally, every tshuva. You open up a Yabi Omer, it's like V'chein Kasa. So first we'll go through everybody you know, Beit Yosef and the Bach and the whatever. And then it'll be like, I remember once reading it, I'm like, what is the Ugat Eliyahu? Like, who is that? You know, every time I look at him, I'm like, it sounds like the name of a bakery. But Mefurash Beshut Ugat Eliyahu. Like, what are you talking about? You know, I don't know what, you know. And the craziest is to watch the Tzitzil Yezer and Rav Avadya go back and forth between tshuva. There's a tshuva in the Tzitzil Yezer where he said, I got Yabi Omer Chelik whatever, and I was reading it, and I enjoyed it so much, but I was so bothered because in this tshuva, I couldn't believe it. You left out an explicit tshuva by the Marash Engel. I'm like, okay. I know who the Marash Engel is. That's about the extent of that. But I'm like, first of all, I don't know the Marash Engel by heart. Second of all, I did not bother checking every reference or Avadja to see if he left out the Marash Engel. Like, maybe he did. I don't know. The two of them were like that. It's machines. So if you're them, so you'll learn and you'll know. Kola Terakula, Baal Peh, backwards, forwards, upside down, inside out.
Inside out.
You don't even know what that means. If you're not, if you're not that type of person.
Mere mortal like the rest of us.
Exactly. If you're a mere mortal, again, there's a reason when I saw Rav Avadya for the first time in person, I made a bracha b'shem u'malchut. There's a bracha you make in a Talmud Chacham. I made it b'shem u'malchut b'li shum hisus. So I did not hesitate. I was not misupak azay pashut. In fact, as the story goes, someone once asked him in shir, "Am I allowed to say the bracha on you?" And he said yes. So then the guy made the bracha, and Rav Avadya answered amen. I didn't have that type of chutzpah.
If it's a real question.
It was not a question.
Okay.
There was a person.
It's a chutzpah that you're putting him down.
Right.
It was asking about Moshe Feinstein. Feinstein, are you a rabbi?
Look, there was a reason his funeral was as insane as it was. It was the crazy.
Tens of thousands of people.
Tens of thousands. There was 1 million people.
Oh my God.
It was the numbers are somewhere between 800,000 and 1 million people.
Oh my God.
It was crazy. It was like, and I made it to the front. To the coffin. I made it all the way in. I'm short. My chavrusa was really tall. And we mavish went on a soap all the way to the front.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. It was unbelievable. I spent the entire time hitting away pickpockets who were trying to take things out of my pocket. We were squashed. Like this, and people were trying to rob you the entire time. It was crazy.
Did they say the bracha was 600,000 Jews?
I wasn't thinking about it. I was trying to. Afterwards, I'm like, if I only done in my life, I could say it. But no, I didn't say it because I was just all I was thinking about was getting to the front and keeping pickpockets away. Just
that would be cool.
They said it on your loudspeakers.
Cool. Whatever. Anyways. So I understand it. It's in the end of the day, look, you're not a Bavadia. You learn 18 hours a day. You learn as much as you can, or you learn and you work and you do what you're supposed to do. Okay, so you can't write Yabia Omer, Okay, I also didn't write my first book on Hurrios at 9, Whatever. That's apparently what he did. Sorry about that. But what does it mean? Is there more to it? So let's look at the Ur HaZeruah. Who's the Ur HaZeruah? By the end, I'm going to get you guys to know it. Who is the Ur HaZeruah?
I've heard of him.
I know, because I mentioned Ur
HaZeruah. Yeah,
Oh, good, we're getting it. It's on the tip of the tongue. I did. Oh, good. This is why I keep repeating it. Rav Yitzchak of Vienna, who named the Sefer Ur HaZeruah because... He didn't know how to spell Akiva.
Yeah, that's what it was. With an O for a hey.
Very good. Okay, there you go. Yeah. Very good. Right. So he writes, Rav Yitzchak of Vienna. What?
What was that?
Oh, he didn't know how to spell Akiva, and then at some point he had the epiphany in his dream that Akiva... with a hey is the Sofei Teva out of Ur HaZeruah Tzadik Lishrei Lev Simcha, and that was so moved by it that he named his book Ur HaZeruah, and his son named his book Marach Ur HaZeruah, Chaim Ur HaZeruah. Okay. So the Ur HaZeruah, we're all baffled, it's okay. The Ur HaZeruah says on the story in Brachot of Rabbi Lazar and Yochanan, Rabbi Akiva, got it? He quotes the whole story. He's crying and he says, "How much are you learning?" So now he says in the second line, he says, This sounds too simplistic to be true. Doesn't the Mishnah say in Perek Yavot that Im Lamata Torah Harbe Notin Lascha Schar Harbe? Meaning, if you learn a lot, you get a lot of reward. What are you just telling me? A lot, a little, who cares? I care!
Isn't that subjective? A lot.
And he says, Va'arinan v'perek ha-socher
ha-poelim. That's how you know this. Like, if you've done a lot, then like...
So first he sets up the question, and he quotes right all types of cases. If a shochar tov, he quotes the midrash that says that if you lomad kol haTorah, the chaser Torah kohanim. Even if you learn kol haTorah kula, but you didn't learn Torah kohanim, which is the midrash halachan vayikra, nidon aleihem b'yom hadin, you will be called to judgment on yom hadin. Va'afil lomad Torah kohanim, the chaser maseh merkava. And even if you learned everything except for the deep mystical, philosophical things of Maaseh Merkava, Kmo Chei Nidon, Yelka.
It's something that's so hard. Doesn't the Mishnah say don't learn that?
No, don't do it in public.
Wait, what is Maaseh Merkava?
No one knows. I mean, people know. I don't know. I'll be judged, and you know, maybe one day I'll know. Maaseh Merkava is the vision of Yechezkel of God. And then it's the secrets of God, the nature of God. What is it? We don't know. Is it philosophy? Is it mysticism? Who knows? But it's something about the nature of God. But he says, Hilka. He says, it's clear that you have to know more. What is it? A little, a lot. It clearly doesn't mean, it doesn't matter how much you learn, just be a good person. That's not what it means. Hilka Chalchei Peirusho. He said, this is what it means. Adam Shetarach V'Torah. He said, no, it means what I said before. It doesn't mean, it doesn't matter how much you learn. It means that assuming you put in as much effort as you can, so it doesn't matter how much you accomplish. That's not up to you. Your skill set is not up to you. If you put as much effort in as you can, even if you only succeed with a little bit, so if somebody else put in the same amount of effort and got more, so then the two of you are equivalent because it's based on the effort you put in. That's pshat. Not, it doesn't matter how much you learn. It very much matters. All of you, kol derech kula. Understood? Good. Okay? You're responsible for it. Done.
How is that defined?
Kol derech kula? Oh, you weren't here on Shabbos when I explained what I mean by kol derech kula. Yeah, when I was in on Friday night, I explained what the Shulchan Aruch Harav thinks kol derech kula is at minimum. Tanakh Bavli Yerushalmi Mishnah Tosefta Sifrei from Mechilta Midrash Ramam Shulchan Aruch.
What is Midrash?
Like, Midrash Halacha, Midrash Agadah, all the Midrashim, the Chazal. That's it.
I mean,
it's doable.
That's not everything.
What?
It's doable.
Avada, it's doable. Matitom. Even like very. First of all, Tanakh then takes a long.
Tanakh
Darius
is done. Yeah, job. Tanakh is. You can do it in 7.5 years.
If you do it a daf a day, you do it, yeah, you know.
Daf a day, you do it hard.
You know, Yerushalmi, if you do a daf a day, it'll take you 4 years and a bit. You know?
20 years, like, yeah, definitely.
But even if you don't do that, even if you do half an amud a day, shas, you'll be done in 30 years. You're only 19. You know, you'll be done by 49. That's not bad. By the way, I will say that the first time you make a siyum hashas, it's a great feeling when you say, right, Hadron Allah Masechet Nida V'Kol Shisha Sidrei Mishnah V'Daita Chalon. It's a good feeling. Daka, you know, it is. What?
I say, wonder if the Jewish fellows accumulated too many Persian books. It's probably too many.
Okay. Anyways, so he says, and he said, therefore, what these members of Chazal were worried about was that maybe they didn't put in enough effort. It says whether it takes you 100 years or 20 years, God rewards them equally. Damar beperek bet the brachot Yerushalmi kach damach Rabbi Bon Barchia al Rabzera the ifter ilave mitukash nado ved yashan in ktivkan ella imaat the imharbe yochal lama yerbon Rabchia dome lemelech shesachar pol imharbe v'hayisham pol echad she mitkasher melachto yoter midaim asa melech natlo v'yemetayel imo aruch roktarot liitote erabot and mal liital schara natlo schari imayim. Said, but there's a problem He said, in the Yerushalmi, you see this as well, right? That, which is sort of, you would have thought this is intention, but he says it's not. Right? If someone puts in all the effort and accomplishes it in a few years, so he gets all the reward, however long it takes you, short or much, right? The point is, if you put in the effort and finish Kol HaTorah Kula in 20 years, Ashrecha! Right? And you have the rest of the time to hang out with God. Okay, whatever that means. And he says, the Nira Be'enai, and this is interesting already, where he says, I think, but I can't prove it, Duhu Adin Binot Neit Stak of Achom Asim Tovim, Rasha Adam Yasu Glumod Velasu Kolasher Yuchal Lasu Neimali Menel Fikona. He said, I think this is true of all mitzvot. I think. I'm not sure. I think. I would have thought it's obvious, but he's pointing out that he can't prove it, because the Gemara says it by Kadshim and by Torah. But he thinks it's true in Kol HaTorah Kula. And again, for him, the basic message seems to be that it's about the effort you put in. Now, I should have put this. I didn't. I'm sorry. The Taz has a statement in Evan Ezer's in Chafei Ozbeis, where he says the same thing in the following context. Let's say you're very productive at your learning because you get a good night's sleep. You need a good night's sleep. You need 7 hours of sleep, Rachmana Litzlan. But you need 7 hours, and you get it.
We needed 3 hours.
What?
In Gush, we needed 3 hours.
Okay, but you need 7 hours. But then every waking moment you put in, and you learn, and you're fully awake, and you get a lot done. Somebody else gets 3 hours of sleep, but they're always tired, so they don't get anything done. So the Taz says they get the same amount of reward. And therefore, Chaval, the person who's tired, because he might as well have been awake, because they're both, the person who's sleeping the extra few hours is doing it so that his Torah is qualitatively better. As one of the Rambam and Gush used to put it, there are these people who sacrifice Talmud Torah on the Mizbeach of Hasmada. Hatmada, learning all the time. Right, you sacrifice Talmud Torah. Or as I put it in yeshiva, you had the two different types of masmidim. You had the 24-hour a day, 7 day a week masmidim, and you had the 60-minute to the hour masmidim. Right? There were certain of my friends who, like, they didn't stay up to crazy hours, but you could not interrupt them. They were like, if you've met me over the last few months, or you're all Shana Aleph, I don't have that type of attention, right? I can, work for many hours at a time, but I get easily distracted if people ask me a question, talk to me, whatever. So I was not in that group, but both of them are going to accomplish. The Marsha.
Accomplish what?
We'll accomplish in Torah, and you'll get the same reward. Meaning, both of those are models. Right? We'll accomplish. Meaning,
fine.
How much? We'll accomplish. Whatever.
They will accomplish.
They will accomplish. Okay, good. The Marsha then says, according to Or Zeruah, this is about whether you learn a lot or little of Torah. Marsha notes that Rashi seems to say not that way, because in the Gemara and Daf Yud Zayin, it doesn't. And the Gemara and Daf Hey, that's what it sounds like when he says, "Why are you so worried about how much you learned? As long as you learned as much as you could, it's fine." But in Yud Zayin, there seems to be a bigger chiddush hidden here, which is, it doesn't matter whether you're the Talmud Chacham or you're the honest Baal HaBas, which means that Echad Amar v'Echad Amam, it doesn't mean how much Torah you learn, it means whether you learn or you do something else which you're supposed to be doing. That's a bigger Chiddush. So Marsha says, what is that? Miperesh Nira, Da'iri Afil B'Mamit Einu B'Torah. Kamasha calls it Da'iri B'Ama Aretz. It sounds like it's Talmud Chacham versus Ama Aretz, which is a much bigger Chiddush. So then why should the Talmud Chacham call the Amaretz his friend, which sounds like colleague? The old Kasha, my Rabbi Tanya, the Hani Rabbanan Diab, the Margul Hachibu Fumayu. Din hu Nusra Chauda, called Talmud Chacham Meda Medrash, because I'm reading a bit Perek. And why is this attributed only to the Rabbanan Diavne? We find in a few daf later that the Hadron that we say, Ani Mashkim, Hey Mashkim, right? This was things that everybody said. the Nirlef Irish. So he says that's why it can't be Kipshuto. He says it must be that the pshat isn't Talmud Chacham versus Talmud Chacham. That it's not, but it's also not learner of Torah versus non-learner of Torah. It's learner of Torah a lot versus learner of Torah a little. He said, why does he say I'm a creature and he's a creature? Because he said, what's the theology of the statement? The theology of the statement is that our skill set is given to us when we are created. And therefore, the reason that as long as he learns a little bit and I learn a lot, but we do what we can, is because the yisod of it is because that's we're both doing what our natural capabilities are. And that's why echad amarbe echad amamet. It's not echad amarbe echad amamet if I could learn all the time and be a biggest talmud chacham, but I suffice with shtay mikra. It's if I can't do more. So it's the fact that he harkens back to creation. He says that's why. It's because I know this is how we're created. And he quotes the Midrash, the other Gemara, which says that when the Malach, so to speak, takes the drop of the sperm to inseminate the egg to make the baby born, he says he'll be smart, he'll be stupid. And that's why, unlike in the Hadron for Rishayim, we say they are Rishayim, they go Lever Shachat. Here we don't say this. We just say, I get up and he gets up to different jobs. Because there are people who do bad things and they don't get reward. We're talking about someone who learns a little bit, but that's what he can do. And that's the theology of this. And what we're talking about is someone who lomid kol yomak v'yicholto v'achar kach holech malach lo besade, is the person who learns a little bit in the morning and goes to work. Right, the good from Kovei Itim Balabas, who does what he can. That's what we're talking about here, and that's the echad amar v'echad hamam. 18. The Rav. Okay, this is from the Rishimot Shirim, which is a collection of Rav Soloveitchik's Shirim put together by Rabbi Reichman. So look at the third line. He quotes Rashi, which already said, actually look five lines down. V'yesh lahayir k'tzat. K'tzat kasha meimra. K'shem she'inim mitgader mimalachti, k'achinim mitgader mimalachto. There's another line that bothers me here, which is, just like I don't enter into his field and take pride in what he does, he doesn't try to enter into mine. It says, D'mala havamina, shidot tamal chacham et umanato shalam aretz. I get it. The Amaris wants to say, oh, I'm a Talmud Chacham. And the fact that he doesn't try to pretend he's a Talmud Chacham, that's impressive. But the Talmud Chacham says, and I don't do his work. I'm the Rosh Yeshiva, but I don't attempt to be the plumber. It's a little bit of an odd statement for the Rosh Yeshiva to say. In a Chanami, but he's saying he didn't. So he says, so he says that's not what it means. He says it must be there's a different gear. So if you look at the Duke Sofrim, it says Kishem Shainamit Gadir Mimalachto Kach Einamit Gadir Mimalachti, which is I neither take pride in he isn't arrogant about what he does and I'm not arrogant about what I do. That's the key here. Not that I don't try to do what he does. It's that because we're each doing what we're supposed to do, neither of us are supposed to be arrogant because of what we do. And then he says, and why is it about the Rabbanan Diavne? Why do you think? Yeah, exactly. He said, it was who had to teach this lesson? Rabbanan Diavna, the equivalent of the Sanhedrin, meaning the center of Tamidei Chachamim. It's the rabbinic elite in the city of the rabbinic elite who are the ones who need to repeat over and over and over again. Don't be arrogant, don't be arrogant, don't be arrogant. We're just doing what we're supposed to do. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. They do what they're supposed to do. So far what we get is, from the Orzarua, it's a universal law Meir Shah adds that this has to be someone who learns at least a little bit, and the Rav adds that it's about not being arrogant in what you do, and it's dafka the talmidei chachamim b'talmidei chachamim that you need to teach this value of echad amar b'echad amamet. 19. The Or HaChaim. I probably should have put this earlier. This is back on the... It's a little bit on the Karbana. Okay. So he says, I'll summarize it. He points out one thing. He says, the Gemara is very, very meduyak. It's very, very precise. It doesn't say, there are two ways you could have formulated Echad Amar Beh Echad Amamet. One is the way it did, and the other is, Hamamit Kimarbeh. Right? One way would have said, doing a little is the equivalent of doing a lot, as long as you have kavana. Or you could say what the Gemara actually said, which is Echad Amar Beh Echad Amamet. Said, what's the difference? Exactly. He says, the Gemara is very precise. It doesn't want to say, really you should do a lot, but if you can't, we'll suffice with a little. No. The point is, they're actually equivalent. And therefore, it doesn't say, Hamamit Kimarbeh. It's Echad Amar Beh Echad Amamet. It's teaching you that the fundamental point is Yechavin Libo L'Shamayim, not that B'di'avad. If you can do a lot and you do a little Hashem Shemayim, it'll count. That's not what it is. And that's what he says is the point of this language. That's point four here. I gave you in 20... just a summary that the Or Zeruah that says that you get the equal reward as long as you put in the same effort, that is Nifsag Lahalacha by the Magen Avraham, by the Mabit. The Ben Yehoyada had a formulation that he thought drove it home even more than the Or HaChaim. But the Or HaChaim was the one who said that it's Echad Amar Beh Echad Amamet. It's not that the ideal is Marbe, it's just as much as you can. Ben Yoyada, to drive that home point, would say, Hamarba Kimamit. Right? The one who does a lot is just like the one who does a little. Right? And that flip would help him drive home the true message of this, which is that there really is no benefit.
Oh, so you mean he would say exactly what that other guy just said,
Gemara
didn't say
food. No, Hamar Beh Kimamit. No, the other way around. Right? That the one who does a lot is just like the one who does a little if he has Kavana. Okay. The last thing I want to point out is that this, as we have seen often, Agadatas sometimes go from Agadah to Halacha. So how would I go from Agadah to Halacha here? So I'll show you.
Like Limud Torah?
So one would be Torah, but there's actually one case in which the poskim actually take this out of the realm of philosophy and really say there is a halacha maisa application to this, not just learn as much as you want. Tefillah. And that is the following. Look at Shulchan Aruch 21. Tov ma'ata chanunim b'chavana meharbot b'lo chavana. You ever heard this halacha? Do you ever understand where it came from?
Here.
Yes, exactly from here. That it's better to daven a little bit with kavana than a lot without. You know, say Baruch Shomer Asher Yishtabach with kavana, then say all of Pesukim is ever without kavana. Where do the poskim get that from? From here. Because once you set this up as a universal value, and you say the ikar is kavana, and especially tefillah, where kavana is already front and central.
Forget
that. And it's mirroring kavana. So, gam v'gam. So, that's and the Taz says this. Where is this from? Zelashon Rabbeinu Echad Amar Echad Amamet Uvad Shechavin Libo B'Tachanunav Kitov Ma'ad B'Chavana Me'Arbot Bohem Shelo B'Chavana. The Kashim Amar Efshach. But then the Taz said, I have a little bit of a kasha on this. I get it in general, but there's a problem. Because that's not your only options. Your other option is harbei bechavana. Isn't that an option, people? Allah with kavana. Lama yishram hamamit. And that person, why should one who says a lot with kavana be the same as one who says a little with kavana? V'i belo kavana, lama amrachakach itov yoter. And if he doesn't have kavana, umitchila hishveh otam, gmar sof menachot, amar echar marvamamir, v'chaj chavin libel shamayim. And he says, what's this? It's better than. He's proving it from a Gemara that says they're equivalent to you have Kavana. How does that prove that one is better? That a little with Kavana is better than a lot without Kavana? It should just prove that
a lot with, meaning
it sounds at first glance like this comes from our Gemara, and then you're like, wait a second, that's not exactly what happened. Right? There are a few steps here that you jumped. And therefore he says, it must be, so he said, what's the only way to answer it? Is to say that harbei bechavana is not an option. Or not always an option. If it were always an option to just daven more bechavana, then you're right. You should daven more with chavana than less with chavana. But why is that not an option? Because he says, the Gemara in Shabbos says that Rava Chazer of Amununa dekal marech betzilusei, Rava saw that Rav Hamnuna davened a lot, and Amar manichin chayolam oskim chayishah. He said you shouldn't be doing that because you're giving up Torah for tefillah, which is this worldly compared to Torah. V'hu zavar sman Torah l'chud, but he thought that Torah and tefillah were separate, and therefore he says this is the pshat. Echad amarbe b'tfila k'rav amnuna d'sfira leid z'man Torah l'chud. V'echad amamit b'tfila k'ravah shekavanah z'lasuk b'torah. Whether you increase your tfila time or you decrease it in favor of Talmud Torah, those are equivalent because those are two models. U'bilvad shekhavin libo l'shamayim. As long as your choice to daven more or less is because of kavana for shamayim, klomar ba'otan inyan shemamait b'tfilah l'shem shamayim. Ulvizeh amar rabbeinu ki lefemeh miribu tfilah siba shlo l'chavein yuchol l'chavein. And then he says, so it was really a two-step argument. It's first, if you choose the path of davening more, that's fine. If you choose the path of learning more and therefore having less time for davening, that's also fine. But that choice leads to step two, which is that sometimes if you only have 45 minutes to daven, it's either going to be all of Psukei Zimra with minimal kavana, or a few parts of Psukei Zimra with a lot of kavana. But what led to that decision that prevented the possibility of harbeim kavana was a choice which itself was l'shem shamayim. And then Shulchan Aruch comes to tell you that if that's the choice, because of your bigger choice, which was between two equal but different paths of Avodat Hashem, which is more time for tefillah or more time for Torah, if that constriction is what makes you choose between a little without kavana or a lot with a little with kavana or a lot without kavana, so then you should prefer a little with kavana because kavana is central. But there was a missing argument here. It was that lifestyle choice that came first, and then on top of that he teaches you that kavana is the one that you should prefer. But that's how he bridges it and still maintains that this is an expression fundamentally of the value set up of Echad Amarba v'Echad Amamit l'Halacha. The Prima Gadim notes that the Mechaber doesn't quote the Gemara, he quotes the Tur, because in the Gemara it's Echad Amarba v'Echad Amamit. And here it's not Echad Amarba, it's that the Mamit is Adif. Right, the Mamid is Adif. And that's why he said, and that's what the Taz says, that he's talking about a case where your choice, L'Shem Shamayim, made it, that you can't just be Marbe v'Chavana, And that's why, again, this is an expression of the Gemara in Menachot, but it's one step removed. Right? It's the choice, it's the lifestyle choice that's the Echad Amar Bevechad Amamid. And once you're time limited because of your lifestyle choice, so Mimela, you have to make a call between a lot without Kavana or a little with Kavana, and then we make the call. But it's still fundamentally a halachic expression of Echad Amar Bevechad Amamid. The Aruch HaShulchan. Write slightly differently. He says, "Lomar could go sheyesh lo shah lomar dachanunim lo yoter." He says, "You don't have to go that far. It could simply be you have exactly an hour. For whatever reason, you have an hour to daven. That's it. And therefore, the point is, within that hour, the ikr is kavana. Lo yomar harbe dachanunim lo kavana. V'tov yoter ma'ad u'v'chalana lebu adin b'chol dvarim." And then he says, by the way, tying it back to the Gemara Menachot, this is not just true of tefillah, it's true of everything. He says, just like the general rule of Echad Amar Vechad Amam is universal, what else is? The rule that a little with kavana is better than a lot without. So, what's better? A lot of learning that you don't understand, or a little bit of learning you understand? Learning you understand. What's better? A lot of Tehillim that you just sort of run through, or a little bit of Tehillim that you focus on?
Second one.
The second one, he says, once you set up that rule, it's true. Im kol Torah kula. The Mishnah Berurah notes that the corollary is, however, if you actually have the time to daven a lot with kavana, so then obviously that's the best, right? Im kain avolam amarba kaven gamkin amarba tov yoter. But he says there's another reason, right? There's a much more pashut reason why that's not always an option. What's the option? What's the reason? So far, everyone is focused on time, but you tell me, why is it not always an option?
Attention span,
thank you. He just says, look, if you know yourself that if you daven too long, you won't have kavana. So then, echad amar b'vechad amamit, daven as long as you can, maintaining kavana. So the Mishnah Berurah says, I don't need this two-step process. I have a much more direct way of reading this as an expression of Gemara, and that is, not everybody can have kavana for hours on end. Some people know that their attention span is 10 minutes. Some people know their attention span is 30 seconds. So the question is, okay? So he has a much more straightforward. He says, you know how this is an expression of Echad Amar b'Echad Amamid? It's saying, if somebody knows he only has kavana for 10 minutes, if that person chooses to spend the 10 minutes davening, the schar is there. And theoretically, they'd both be equivalent. But if I have a choice, to take the one with kavana, because that's an expression of yechaven libo l'shamayim, meaning yes, theoretically, they're both tefillah. But since what makes them equally valuable is kavana l'shem shamayim, then obviously the one you're going to prefer is kavana l'shem shamayim. But here you see an interesting leap by the Mishnah Berurah, which is echad amar v'echad amamid uvad yechaven libo l'shamayim, in its original context means if you do a lot or a little b'kavana, as long as you're doing everything you can, it's fine. But here he changes it and means that whether you do a lot or whether you do a little, it's equivalent. And when you have an option, you should choose the one that reflects Kavana L'Shem Shamayim. Right? That's how the Mishnah Berurah seems to be reading the expansion of the Gemara. Right? Which is, if you know you have 10 minutes, you're already in the Echad Amar v'Echad Amamid. But then, if you have a choice between the two, pick the one, again, that reflects kavana. And in tefillah, that's easy. It means tov ma'at in kavana, from a lot without of kavana, which I think that's what the Mishnah Berurah is doing. And then he says the same thing is true of Talmud Torah, that you should learn as much as you can. And he says similarly, if someone is a big Talmud Chacham, he doesn't have to say all these tefillot and bakashot, right, all the extra tefillot. If he wants to take that time to learn, that's part of this cheshbon. And then he just throws in here that you should also spend a little bit of time each day in Musar or similar things in order to add to your Yirah Shamayim, which there's a reason he's saying in this context, because the whole point is Yirah Shamayim. He's saying, you should probably focus on that a little bit to make sure. So that's how this issue, with a few additions and twists, makes it from the realm of Machshava to the realm from the realm of Machshava, and I got it to the realm of Halacha. At the end, I forgot I actually put it, but this is the Yerushalmi that was quoted by the Or HaZeruah. I read it in full in the Or HaZeruah, but I had put it separate at the end. But we already read it. Okay,
is a little Havana filled tefillah always better than, you know, like if I made the case, either it's 5 seconds of Kavana or 5 hours of no Kavana. Is it still true?
I don't know. But if you had 5 hours, you know, why would you want to spend hours on non-understood tefillah? Why would that be your preference?
I don't know, but I'm asking. Like, let's say I can do either of these. I can go 5 seconds of like really good Kavana or 5 hours.
Come on.